Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, once again, we're so glad to be with you, and I think we've been preaching here and being on the air for about 36 or 37 years, and yet the Lord has put us here, and we don't even ask for money. And these books that we talk about, I don't get a penny from any of this. I don't get a penny from the books or anything, but we want to recommend them so that you can see them, that we actually have God's Word, and people are writing very well-researched books right along. And we have one by Floyd Nolan Jones, which version is God's Word, and gives the documented evidence that the ancient manuscripts back up the authorized King James Bible, and then which Bible is with Jesus used by McElroy. That's one of the best I've ever read. And it shows why this is the God-given, preserved Word of God. We actually have God's Words. Now, we have people today that are, they call themselves fundamentalists, but actually they're deists in their belief. They believe sort of God gave the book, the Bible, perfect, but then he just took off and said it, sort of left it. But no, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not never pass away. That's mentioned in three places in the Gospels. And so this program is about saying we have the Word of God. Now, God has told us in many, many, many scriptures, there's more prophecies where the words of God are today than there are about Jesus coming in the first place. And Jesus is called the Word of God. So the words in the Bible are his words. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And in the Gospel of John, for instance, it says, I pray not for the world, and Jesus is speaking, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world, for I have given them the words that thou hast given to me. Do you believe that or do you not? Do you have faith or do you not have faith? That's the words of Jesus. He said, I pray not for the world, but the ones thou hast given me out of the world. This applies to the whole world. The saved people around the world, God has given us the words. And he has told us in so many places, in so many places in the Word of God, where his words are. He says, by their fruit you shall know them. We see that millions have been saved through the Word of God. Every great revival comes through the Word of God. Some people are saying that's of the King James of the devil. You mean the devil has saved these millions of believers down through the ages? I'll tell you what, they say that they're being influenced by the devil. And you know what the devil, how he works? It's the spirit of pride, and they got pride in them. God doesn't speak to us or reveal himself to people that are proud. He reveals himself to the humble people. And so Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. Every other translation that comes out disappears. Hundreds of them come and they go. They've been advertised with millions of dollars and they come and go. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow, and a stranger will they not follow. They've heard the voice of Jesus. And the authorized King James Bible goes right on like nobody is attacking, and yet it's being attacked all the time. Most seminaries and even many Bible schools attack it, and they try to destroy its validity and so on, but it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The words of the Lord God says are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so, you know, we know Jesus through his words. And he talks to us in his words, and we talk to him in prayer. And, you know, that's a way of praying. You know, we read the word, and then we say, thank you, Lord, for this promise. And I accept this promise, and I'm going to live on this promise. And so God has given us his words. And I see that it seems like there is a shift in that direction, even by people. Some of the international programs on television, I hear them quoting the authorized King James Bible. And we ought to call it the King Jesus Bible, because this is the Word of God. But, this Bible tells us so many things that's interesting. And today, as I was coming over here, I heard Rush Limbaugh talking about this resolution in the United Nations. And it was a resolution, and they were they've been resoluting and whatever they do and against the United States for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Well, it is the capital of Israel. That's where they have their headquarters. And the you know, there's an authority higher than the UN. And there is a court higher than the UN. And the court that is the court that is above the United Nations is the court of the universe. And it's located in the New Jerusalem, in the city of God where Jesus is. And he's the supreme judge of this court. And this whole Bible is his words. He is called the Word of God. And I want to, Brother Al Davis here is with us, and I thank God for him. He's going to give us some of the places where God says that that city belongs to him and he's given it to Israel. Okay.
Well, and thank you, Bruce. And again, just a reminder, too, that you can find out more about Bruce and the program, Where is God's Word, if you go to the website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can find some of those books and materials that Bruce references from time to time, and also learn more about Bruce Musselman, and listen to some past programs at whereisgodsword.com. And also, we are live on the radio this afternoon here on this Thursday afternoon, and if you want to talk to Bruce Musselman about what he's talking about here today, you can give a call at toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can come on the air with Bruce Musselman this afternoon and ask him or talk to him about what we're talking about Jerusalem here. Jerusalem is very important in the Bible. And we know that it was the city that David established his throne and ruled from Jerusalem. He captured the city about the year 1000 BC. And I was actually doing a little bit of looking into this. Jerusalem is, of course, in the Promised Land. And a lot of people don't realize that the Jewish presence in Jerusalem did not start with the capture of Jerusalem by David and his men in 1000 BC. It actually started during the time of the judges. In Judges chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, "Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley." So we have Judah taking Jerusalem, and this is back when Joshua led them into the land. Remember, that's the very beginning after they came out of the Egyptian captivity. And this lie that's propagated, like Bruce is in referencing the UN, their condemnation of the United States for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Well, here, since the time under Joshua when they came into the land after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years after leaving Egypt, God brought them into the land and delivered Jerusalem into their hands. And it was the tribe of Judah, the same tribe that that David, King David, later came out of. And then in the year 1000, he took that city. And then, of course, the Bible says that land was given to Abraham and his descendants, and specifically through Isaac, his son Isaac, and then through Isaac's son Jacob, and then Jacob's 12 sons, of which Judah was one of them. And then, of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as Bruce was looking at last week, talking about the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 2, he came out of the tribe of Judah, didn't he, Bruce?
Yes, he sure did.
And that's where one day he's going to return to rule over this world for 1,000 years. So Jerusalem is very important, and I certainly commend our government for taking the step of recognizing that.
You know, God, since Jesus is going to rule from Jerusalem, and it's called the city of the great king, and, you know, if you've been there, it's not a real small, a real big city. It's a pretty small city. But the whole world already is involved with it. I mean, taking sides over Jerusalem. Why? God is behind this. He's getting the whole world's attention on this city because he is coming back and ruling over the world from Jerusalem, Israel. On Mount Zion, he's going to be. Mount Zion's a real place in the city of Jerusalem. I sat down on that mountain myself some years ago. And so it's prophetic fulfillment. And so we see as the United Nations condemns it, we know they're going to get an army because the Bible says, I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, Zechariah chapter 12. And then it says in 14, the Lord himself shall come and his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives outside of Jerusalem. And then it says, Zechariah 12 again, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn because they will realize God is speaking there, and it was God that was pierced. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, Jesus came to die for our sin. And the whole Bible, all the prophets of the Bible talk about that. You read Isaiah 53, it talks about this and why he died and the effect of his death. And you read Psalms in the book of Psalms where it talks about his crucifixion and you know, somebody said later that he didn't really die. Somebody died in his place. Well, I would rather believe the people that were there. The apostles, they all knew he died. Pontius Pilate knew he died. Pontius Pilate knew he died and rose from the dead because he sent a report to Tiberius. And after that, Tiberius went before the Roman Senate and wanted to recognize Jesus as a god. And it gave Christianity a chance to take off and spread the word. And so they died for the fact, if he rose from the dead, they knew that he had died. And the accounts are there. They didn't. Who are we going to believe, somebody that came later or somebody was right there, eyewitnesses? And the eyewitnesses, they knew that he had died on the cross. But, you know, this is Christmas time, and so I want to talk about today from Isaiah 9:6. It talks about Jesus. Here, and the whole Bible is about Jesus. It says, unto us a child is born. So God is going to be born into the world. And it says, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, in Micah 5:2, though thou be the least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, who shall rule over my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now you say, what's that mean? Well, if he's from everlasting, then he's God. But yet he was born. Why? His birth means he took on a human body. And King David is a prophet. And King David says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed? Anointed means Messiah or Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And then Jesus speaks in the Old Testament, and he says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, of Zion. I will declare the decree of the Lord. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And the beginning refers to the fact that the life of God the Father was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his beginning refers to him taking on a human body. You know, some of the modern counterfeit translations in John 3:16, instead of saying God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, they'll say, he gave his only son. Well, that's blasphemy. Begotten comes from the word monogenesis, which comes from genes. Jesus had the genes of God that's connected with the virgin birth. And any translation that says that is blaspheming. That's talking against God. So God is going to be born into the world. And it says, Isaiah 9:6, his son is given. The son of God, Jesus is the son of God that came into the world. And it took the Son of God to die for our sins. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And right now, even though he is not ruling from Jerusalem, he has the final authority. It is not the United Nations. It is not the United States. It is not any other country. He is the final authority. And his words are here. And you know, they talk about dividing the land of Israel. It's already been divided because Palestine, part of Palestine, is the country of Jordan. And most Palestinians, they moved into the country from other Arab countries after the Jews got there, came back in 1917, although the Jews have been there ever since. I mean, they've been there for 2,000 years, but they started coming back in mass in 1917. And at the time, in 1900, Mark Twain, American writer, was over there. Hardly anybody was living over there at the time. But that is given to Israel, and it says the government shall be, and his name shall be called Wonderful. How's he wonderful? Well, We all sinned, and God's justice demands that every thought, word, and deed be paid for and punished. That's his justice. But his love says, I will pay the punishment. And so King David said, a body hast thou made me, speaking through the Holy Spirit. God speaking through King David said, a body hast thou made. God made a body for himself, who is Jesus Christ. And Jesus came, he said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. You read Psalm 22, it talks about his crucifixion. Isaiah 53, his crucifixion. All those lambs that were shed were a picture of Jesus' crucifixion. And John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so he came, and people that were there, they knew it was Jesus that died. The Roman soldiers knew it was Jesus they put the spear in. They knew that it was Jesus, the crown of thorns was put on his head. He came as the Lamb of God to pay for our sin. And if you repent, the last things of Jesus says, if you repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name, that is, the sin has been paid for, and the evidence is found in the King James Bible, the absolute, infallible, authoritative, verbally inspired word of God. And his name shall be called, this is Jesus. And his name shall be called Wonderful. This is the one that was born, the Son of God. Wonderful. He is wonderful. He is wonderful in his birth. He was born like no human being was ever born. He was born of a virgin. And he's wonderful in his life. He did the miracles. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Who could say that and then prove it? Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and his body was destroyed and deteriorated, and it stuck in his brain, and all his functions were destroyed. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. When he said that, if he hadn't said, Lazarus, come forth, everything that had ever existed would have come forth. Our God has all power in heaven and earth. I look at the world today, and all these countries are training their people to be martyred, to kill Jews and to destroy Israel. But who are they fighting? They're fighting each other. Because Jesus Christ is Almighty God, and he controls thinking, and they can be against him all their life, but he can turn their brain in the middle of the night and mess up all their plans, because he's got the absolute total authority. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's wonderful. And it's just, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And that is, he will rule over this world, and his name shall be called Wonderful. He's going to rule over the world from Jerusalem, Israel. That's why the whole world is dividing over Israel, because he's going to come back and rule from Jerusalem. The Bible says this, Counselor. Now, that could refer to just giving advice. It could refer to a lawyer, being a lawyer. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is my lawyer, the Bible says. But he's going to be my judge. And I'm glad my lawyer is going to be my judge, because when he judges the world, if I have come to him and trusted that he died for my sins, that he rose from the dead and his blood was shed for me, then when the devil comes and said, look what Bruce has done, my lawyer Jesus Christ said, there's the blood that I shed, the sin of Jesus, Bruce's sins have been paid for. And I tell you, he's paid for everybody's sin in the whole world, but you must repent and receive him. You must do something. The Bible says, now is the day of salvation. And say like the dying thief, I have sinned. And say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And say it to Jesus. Jesus, Lord, remember me. And he'll save you. And he's wonderful. He's the source of peace. And he gives you satisfaction in life. I just, coming in here, I heard, man, they had, in the state of Ohio, where I live, 4,300 people, they said, died of drug overdose. That's satanic deception. You'd say that's demonic. That's crazy. You know, these people, why? They're not satisfied. They're miserable. I see some of the big stars, and I was watching it on television, many of the big stars in instant trouble, in jail, drunkenness, breaking up a marriage and misery and sorrow. But Jesus has come to give us peace of soul. And when we, if we don't have peace of soul, we could just talk, first of all, ask him to save us, then start talking to him in prayer, but then listening to him talk to us. And, you know, he testifies the testimony to millions of saved people. If you're right with God, you're satisfied. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That is wonderful. People in this world, our friends may leave us, and your husband may leave you, and your wife may leave you, and your kids may not like you. But I'll tell you, Jesus Christ said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so then he's the counselor. And then the Bible says he's the mighty God. He's the mighty God. People don't believe that. He's not just a prophet. And the Bible says he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. The universe, the stars are moved within a fraction of a second. And they run within a second. Who is doing this? Jesus Christ, the living God, the King of Kings. I mentioned this on the radio before, but crack cocaine is one of the most addictive drugs. They say you could take it one time and be addicted. And I was talking to Gal in the hospital, and she was behind the counter, and I said, Jesus Christ is the living God. And we that are saved all over the world, we know that he's the living God. She says, yes, he took me off of crack cocaine without even going through withdrawal symptoms. You know, people are being martyred for Jesus every day. You know, when they're martyred, they refused, they laid down their life and they refused to deny Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the day of their victory. Every time they're killed, that's a victory for Jesus Christ. That's saying he has more power over the people that murdered him. And when they're murdered, at that moment with Jesus, the Bible says when Stephen was murdered, Jesus was standing up to greet him. And he's there to open the pearly gates of heaven. And he is there to meet us and to meet those martyrs and introduce them to God the Father. And they will live with him in joy and peace forever. You know, if you listen to one prophet or somebody that tells you that you kill somebody and that guarantees you a heaven, I'll tell you, you are really wrong. And the Bible says this. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to murder anybody to go to heaven. You can know that you go to heaven when you receive Jesus, because he said, I'll never cast you out. And there's Christians, there's people who call themselves Christians, they don't know this. And they think that, man, they have to hold out to the end and do good works and all the rest of it. Well, we do works because we are, God has changed our heart and mind. But we don't do that to get to heaven. Jesus lived a perfect life, and that is counted to us. And our sins are counted to him. So he is called Wonderful. He's the mighty God. He can do anything. Somebody says, well, I can't live it. Well, you can't live it. I'll agree with you. But I'll tell you, God will live it in you. And Paul says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, which loved me and gave himself for me. He's wonderful because he loves me. I got God that has all power. He's not going to leave me. He got all power in the universe, and he loves me. He loves me, Bruce, and he'll love you. And I heard of one school teacher in Russia, and she told her class, she says, Jesus died for your sins, and he rose, and he loves you, and he'll be with you forever and help you forever. What a wonderful God. And he's the everlasting Father. That's wonderful. He's a father to us. A father's to take care of us. Your father may not have been any good, but he's a father that is tender. He's loving. He will care for you, and you become his child. He's the Prince of Peace. You could have every president and every dictator in the world try to make peace in Jerusalem. It's not going to happen until the Prince of Peace lands on Mount Zion, lands on the Mount of Olives, and comes down through the Kidron Gate and sits up his throne on Mount Zion. And that'll be the time when there'll be peace in this world. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And that is, Hitler talked about the thousand-year rule and all these governments, they set up rules they thought were going to last forever. But the real government will last forever. When Jesus sits down on David's throne, it'll last forever and ever. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it, to establish it with justice. It's going to be a just government from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And thank God, the Lord sent a word unto Jacob and hath light upon Israel. And this is the Bible given us by God through the Israel, through the Jewish people. And we can trust in it. We can trust our eternal life to it. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And he said, my word shall not pass away. And the whole world today has his words. We have it in the Authorized King James Bible, the King Jesus Bible, as the proof of our salvation. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in Christmas.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.